The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Now, Buzz, this is your second MSN Search Champs.
Second MSN Search Champs, and I'm delighted to be here. I see a lot of old friends, see some new friends. We're going to learn a lot, do a lot, hopefully help Microsoft build an even better product, because what they're doing now is pretty excellent.
So what did you do to get re-invited back to MSN Search Champs?
Invited them to a lot of pretty women. I introduced the search guys to a lot of pretty women.
Okay, so not so much the women to other pretty women, just the guys.
Just did it so that they could meet interesting, smart women, and it was a lot of fun. I gave them some feedback, some ideas about some of the things they'd done along the way. So I like the guys, I like the team, I like the product, and we built a... As fate would have it, we have built an ActiveWords agent for MSN Search, which I'm going to show off tomorrow.
Okay, so ActiveWords is still continuing with development?
It's still continuing developing. We've got ActiveWords running on a tablet now, ActiveWords running on a flash drive, and we've got some things that hopefully we'll be able to announce at Nomdex.
Including possibly some ties to Bob Dylan. People say that you've got a story of Bob Dylan.
I do have a story about Bob Dylan, but some of it is just blown in the wind.
Oh, come on. You know I'm going to edit that out now, don't you?
You can edit out. I mean, you're the producer. You can edit out and do whatever you want to do. No, but I'm very much looking forward to Nomadex, too. I'm going to come and talk. Are you going to put me on with Denise? Yeah, that'll be fun. Because I've got to talk about when the law school didn't prepare me for any of this stuff. So it'll be fun.
That's right. You are an attorney.
I am an attorney. Went to Duke Law School, spent a long time practicing law. But there's a very interesting difference between the IT community that we're a part of and the law community, which is about, and the difference is that lawyers are about holding back information and geeks are about accelerating information. And if I have a choice between the two, I prefer accelerating and sharing information and intelligence. And the law business is not about that.
So you've never sued anybody then?
I have. Lots.
Really?
Sure. Sure. I've had 25 jury trials, maybe 150 non-jury trials.
And does this happen all the time, or is it something of a thing of the past?
Well, I haven't done any law for about... I haven't done any serious lawyering for about 9 months. Before that, I was trying to figure out how in the world to both build this company and make a living practicing law, and I finally gave up on practicing law. I just said that... Our technology, our ideas were more important than suing people.
Yeah, but come on, what about the UI of ActiveWords? Tell me there's an overhaul coming.
There is an overhaul coming. We've been talking with the Wintellect people. Do you know the Wintellect people? They're a group that is based in Nashville that Scoble introduced us to, and Scoble being Robert Scoble, the legend, the Scobalizer. And we're... The first two things we're working on, really, rather than the cosmetic aspects of it, which we're going to work on, is internationalizing ActiveWords, because there are tricky things that occur with accents and umlauts and the like, and we just signed a contract with Wintellect to internationalize ActiveWords. And then the second thing is improving our Outlook agent. And I've written a long blog post on Outlook as a platform. And the fascinating piece about Outlook as a platform on my blog post is that I've had thousands of people read that blog post, and I've had about, I don't remember if it's 18 or 28, extensive comments. So the article that I was writing about Outlook as a platform, in effect, has been written by the people who have commented on my blog.
So you're serious when you say you think Outlook is a platform?
I'm not making a value judgment one way or another. What I'm saying is Outlook has become a de facto development platform. And when you look at it from the standpoint of all the stuff, and the examples that I give are things like clear context, things like David Allen's Getting Things Done plugins. And I'm not sure. I mean, one of the things that I hope to do while I'm here in Seattle is to meet with the Outlook team, because I don't think that they ever anticipated the industrial strength applications that would occur for Outlook. I mean, right now, I've got about 10,000 contacts in Outlook. I've got 17,000 emails in Outlook. I don't think they thought that would occur. I don't know what they thought, but that's how I'm using it.
Are you using Outlook 2003 then?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
I am.
No, I'm sorry. I think Outlook 2003 is a bloated piece of junk.
Well, it may be, but, you know, it part of Microsoft's philosophy about this stuff has been to get Outlook or Outlook Express in the hands of everybody on the planet over the age of six. So, you know, one of my friends once told me you can make a lot more money swimming with the tide than you can trying to swim upstream. So the tide says that Microsoft is doing this, and there's parts of it that I find to be very elegant. There are parts of it that are, you know, not as elegant. So, but, you know, Outlook, I'm sure there's going to be an Outlook 2006, and they'll learn. You know, what's really impressive about dealing with Microsoft is that they learn from their mistakes.
I disagree.
Okay. I would argue that my ThinkPad with a gig of RAM running XP, running Office 2003, really is the best computing experience I've ever had. You know, I have mixed feelings about IE as compared to Firefox. But I've written, as I've told you in the past, I've written about the idea that it's not whether or not there's innovative technologies. It's whether or not you aggregate innovative technologies. And that aggregation is kind of going on right now, and I see how people are doing it.
So that's how you see Outlook, then, as an aggregator, not necessarily a news aggregator, as we would think an aggregator would be, but just an aggregator of technologies in general.
Right. Yeah, I do. And it's funny because I used to use, with all due respects to my friend Greg Reinecker, I used to use NewsGator inside Outlook. But, you know, I found that when piled on top of the other things that I had, it became problematic. So I've shipped it over now to Unfolio.
That's a web-based aggregator?
Yeah, it's a browser-based aggregator, and it's a guy named J.J. Allaire, and
just signed up for GnomeDex with a couple of other Unfolio folks today.
Yeah, I mean, Unfolio is a terrific product. The things that when I give my little ActiveWords talks, there's about three other or four other products that I show to everybody. They are Anagram. And Anagram is this dynamite application that allows you to basically select text and it will intelligently parse it and drop it inside of Outlook. They are Unfolio, which is a fabulous news aggregator. They are Mind Manager from MindJet. And I show those off to people because I think they provide, you know, different paradigms in terms of looking at stuff. And if the idea is that you only have to look in one place, everything gets to be a lot more effective, a lot more efficient.
You live inside of Outlook then, for the most part? Outlook and Firefox? Are you going back and forth between IE and Firefox due to Unfolio?
I'm going back and forth. No, there's a Firefox plugin from Unfolio. Or an Unfolio plugin for Firefox. But there are still, you know, 10, 15 sites that I go to that don't get handled right by Firefox. But again, let's go all the way back. I like the search guys. The guys that are hosting us at this event are terrific guys. They're doing their best. And, you know, if they're kind enough to invite me and kind enough to respond to what we're doing, you know, I'm happy to support them. And, you know, they're not the guys building IE. You know, they're trying to do search in a better way. And I look at this from a standpoint that if I can somehow or other help in this process, which is enormously important, you know, I'm a happy camper. I mean, there's three things I'm going to talk about tomorrow. They are search and context. They are whether or not Microsoft or others are dealing with older people, of which I'm becoming. You know, regrettably, I hate to admit the fact that I am becoming older. And the third thing is that I've been a little bit troubled by what I would say are some results inside Google. And the results are funny results. And this all stemmed from a conversation with our mutual friend Robert Scoville. When I told him that I had 30,000 results inside Google for my name. And he said that he had 300,000 for Robert Scoville. So I thought, you know, that's interesting. Is he 10 times more important than I am? I don't think so. But so then I went and I compared the quote Buzz Brueggemann end of quote results in Google with the quote Buzz Brueggemann end of quote results in MSN Search. And in Google, they're triple. So if MSN search brings back 10,000 mentions of my name and Google brings back 30,000, why?
Do you think you're going to find an answer?
I don't know that I'm going to find an answer, but there's an interesting psychology behind that. So that if it's part of this whole vanity notion, so that if all of a sudden somebody tells you you're three times as cool as somebody else tells you, you know, who do you want to take to the dance? You know, the people that tell you you're three times as cool? Now, who's going to go look to the 800th page with your name on it? Nobody. But it gives this odd sort of, you know, subliminal confidence that somebody's doing a better job, right? And I'm not sure that they are doing a better job. In fact, it's caused me to kind of maybe question, you know, how this whole thing is working.
What's your default search engine?
I'm using both right now. I'm using both MSN search and I'm using, because what we've been able to do is we've been able to take active words and script it. So I can type SC and an input box comes up and I can type search contacts and I can put in Chris Perlo and it'll bring me back the result. And it seems, and I mean, I really like the idea. I like, since I've got about 10,000 contacts inside Outlook, I want to be able to search there right away. Google desktop search, and it doesn't work as well inside Outlook. Lookout did, but now MSN search in the latest version that I've been using works much better inside Outlook.
Have you tried Copernic desktop search yet?
I have tried Copernic desktop search and like it too. There was some hiccup I had with Copernic, and also here's the follow-on issue. I've tried to reach out to the Copernic guys about four or five times. Never had anybody respond to me.
You're talking to the wrong people. I can introduce you to the right people.
Okay. I'd love to. I mean, I'd like to get to know those guys because I could show them how to make their product better.
Albert Dang Vu, if that's how you pronounce his name, is probably the individual you want to speak with, as I send all my feedback directly onto him. And if it's valid feedback, if it's something that's constructive for the product, sometimes it actually makes it into the cycle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd like to talk to Albert, so that'd be a huge amount of fun. But we're gonna talk a lot in the next couple of days. We're gonna laugh a lot. We're gonna have a lot of experiences. But then the next thing coming up on the Active Words Odyssey Roadshow Tour is Gnomedex, and it's going to be here in Seattle, the 23rd to the 25th of June, right?
Yep.
And we're gonna have a great time. So anybody who's listening, you need to come.
Okay, now I can't let you go without hearing the Bob Dylan story.
Well, the Bob Dylan story is when I was a kid growing up in Minnesota, I was, kind of a football star wannabe, and I had a letter jacket. And I was dating a girl from Hibbing, Minnesota. And so one day I was in Hibbing, and she and I were walking around, and she was showing me some stuff. And as we were walking down the street, this guy stumbles out of this GE appliance store. And her name was Carol, and she said to the guy, "Hey, Bobby." And he said, "Hey, Carol." And she turned to me, and she said, "Buzz, this is Bobby Zimmerman." I didn't know Bobby Zimmerman from Adam. And so we talked for a few minutes, and she said, "Bobby, are you going to go back to the U, being the University of Minnesota, or are you going to do your music?" And he said something like, "I think I'm going to do my music." So we all, say goodbye and walk off, and she said, "He's really cool." And at the time, I was the only guy with the letter jacket on, right? So about 18 months later, I'm in college in Iowa, great small college called Coe College, and I'm walking down the hall, and I hear this music coming out of a dorm room. So I walk in, and I said, "Who's that?" on the what we used to call a record player, right? And somebody said, "It's Bob Dylan." And I said, "Who's Bob Dylan?" And they handed me a album cover. And I looked on the album cover, and it was said, "Highway 61 Revisited." And Highway 61 is the highway that runs from the Twin Cities up to Duluth and up the North Shore. And I flipped it over, and there was a picture of Bobby. And I said, "Well, I know him." And they said, "There's no way that you could know Bob Dylan." And I said, "His name's not Bob Dylan. His name is Bobby Zimmerman. And he's from Hibbing. He's a friend of Carol's." And my friends suggested that I was full of, bull manure. Because this is a family podcast, I understand. Yeah. So Anyway, I haven't seen him since. He hasn't called. But, yeah, I did know him. And we were, you know, I was 17, he was 20. It was a long time ago. So there you have it.
You know what? You can't really back that up, but we just have to take you at face value.
Absolutely. But, I mean, oddly enough, I went back and read his biography. And I read about when he was living in Hibbing, Minnesota. And he was in Hibbing, Minnesota. And his parents were there. And there was another guy from Hibbing whose name was Gino Pellucci. And Gino founded Chungking and Gino's Pizza Rolls and all those things. And so I was talking to Gino at one point in time. And he knew Bobby Zimmerman's parents. They'd all grown up together in Hibbing. So it really happens. I mean, everybody comes from somewhere. So one of these days when we all know, we all think we met Chris Perillo at some point in time, he's going to say, nah, I didn't know you then.
But who has a letter jacket?
I do. I still have the sweater, actually.
All right. Thanks, Buzz.
Thank you, Chris. See you on June 23rd, okay?
Yep.
The Windows Media stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.